You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
Welcome to On Brand, a podcast for brand builders by brand builders. Here's your host, Nick Westergaard of Brand Driven Digital.
Hey, brand builders, have we got a show for you? This week's guest is James Ontra. James is the co-founder and CEO of Shuffler, where he leads the company's vision, strategy, and technical development. James has more than 30 years of entrepreneurial experience, helping large businesses optimize all stages of the workflow associated with presentations, from creation to distribution, through presenting and repurposing. James' experience consulting with clients, directing sales, and developing presentation management technology inspired him, along with his sister and Shuffler's co-founder, Alexandra, to write Presentation Management, the new strategy for enterprise content. The book helps large organizations take a holistic approach to presentations so they improve productivity and convert more leads. James first discovered his entrepreneurial passion while working his way through undergrad at the University of Houston, and the U.S. Small Business Administration in Houston named him Young Entrepreneur of the Year. James, welcome to On Brand.
Well, thank you for the introduction. Good to be here.
Well, this conversation scratches all sorts of itches for me. Speaking of the University of Houston, I teach at the University of Iowa, and I teach branding and marketing, like we talk about, but I also teach communication skills. So presentations are such a big part of that, and I often think that these are, you know, the connection back to what we're talking about with marketing, these are all sorts of pieces of marketing that are happening out there, but yet a lot of times organizations have trouble getting their arms around them. So I'm glad that you and your sister are doing that work. What is the first step to realizing that you have a presentation management problem?
The first step is one of those symptoms. Someone says, you have to do a presentation on Thursday, and you get that burning sensation in your gut going, I have to do a presentation on Thursday. The first thing you do, you go look on your marketing drive, you open one, you close one, you open another, you close it, you open a third, and you say, God, I'll start with that. You save it as something else. You open the first one, you start copying, pasting, and when you pick up the phone to call someone else about the presentation last summer, that's when you know you're really sick. The key thing with it is everyone's in a silo kind of scratching and groping, if you will, trying to find the next presentation, building the same marketing materials over and over and over again. And we've done this the past 25 years on a whole variety of different platforms, but the problems and the solution always end up being the same. The problems are there's no centralized library. People are off message. Everyone's wasting a lot of time just to get to the starting point and not focusing on the presentation itself, but focusing on creating the presentation.
Right. And I would say that sort of stage of clumsiness of kind of smashing together all of these slide decks, maybe creating a few different segue slides because you can't find what you're looking for. It's kind of a slippery slope that falls into whatever the opposite of best practices are, the worst practices maybe.
Well, you fall into it because it's the way it happens. You have to get it done. You have to make the sale. You have to teach the training course. You have to stand in front of someone and talk to them on, you know, Thursday morning. So you have to be ready, and it forces the issue, and everyone feels like they're on their own. There's no help from, you know, the company to say, hey, this is the way it's done and this is the way it's going on. If I take a step back for a moment on if you look at categories of communications, and businesses learned a long time ago that if they put all their money into, let's say, the advertising industry, kind of started this way, is you put give them all the advertising to David Ogilvy, and he'll give you great creative and delivery in TV. He'll give you a strategy for your billboards, for your print, for your radio, for every form of communication. And if you work that strategy, you'll be successful. TV, let's just pick the Super Bowl. You go to an exotic place with a world-known superstar, shoot a commercial, put it on the Super Bowl, and you can sell as many widgets as you want. That's a strategy that's been reused over and over again for 50 years. And they're still using it. It's big bucks. However, presentations have been overlooked in this. And arguably, I can tell you, if your salesperson is sitting in front of a client and they're not convincing them, that billboard over the shoulder isn't going to do it.
Well, it's interesting too, because I think totally they've been forgotten. But I think the other challenge is that we see there's this kind of push and pull thing happening, where we see that it's not on the radar, and then when it does get on the radar, then maybe the marketing communications unit tries to take it over in a way that's no longer useful for sales. It seems like there's again a push and pull that's a little tricky to navigate.
It's like two pieces of sandpaper rubbing up against each other, sales and marketing.
Yeah.
They each have the same goal, but they have different ways of getting there, and they should be complementary. And in a way, presentations are the combustion point.
I was just that's what my clumsy interruption was there, because yeah, it's like these two parties that should work together, and it seems like a presentation is the battlefield on which they meet that really shouldn't be. It should be more of a picnic ground instead of a battlefield.
But, that's right, and it's actually the foundations of presentation management. And I'll since it's a little self-serving, I'll serve it up right now.
Do it.
Presentation management is about content management. It's about visualizing the content. We've all gone to Google or into your Windows Drive and done searches, and you get a list of file names. You get a list of PowerPoints that say marketing.ppt, marketingv5.ppt, marketingv3, June 16th, 2018.ppt. You have all these. You have videos and such, but you can't see the slides. You can't easily say, wow, there's 35 images and see the slides and what you want and just repurpose it and just use it in another way. So the first step in identifying how to organize it is not let people be on their own trying to find slides everywhere. What you want to do is you want to visualize the content. That's what our service does. But more importantly, you don't want everyone doing 20-slide presentations the way they want it. You want the company to look at it and say, you know, the whole company story is 335 slides. There's 30 slides about our history and founding and values and locations and hierarchy. There's 85 slides about our products and the depth of how our services meet the needs of the users and the IP and the technology that goes into it. There's a bunch of slides on our services in this. And you look at it, if you had one big presentation and you could just look at it and say, I want that slide, that slide, that slide, that slide, and that slide, and just hit save, everyone would be singing off the same sheet of music. That's the basic premise of presentation management, not letting everyone be on their own in their own silo, but getting a huge corporate story where every slide's a scene, and you can grab any 10 scenes you want, orchestrate them together, and do your presentation. Because you're grabbing these scenes that were created by marketing, because that's their job to make them pretty, on brand, right words, right hashtags, everything that right colors, salespeople don't want to deal with that. But if marketing puts it in an environment where they can easily repurpose it, and just like you go to Amazon, I can put 20 things in my cart, hit save, and be out the door. If you could put 20 slides in your cart, hit save, and be ready to do your presentation, you would do it. That's what presentation management is. Because people are easily reusing the content, it allows so many benefits, from the business intelligence, from who's using what, where, and when, to ensuring that if someone used an outdated, misspelled slide and it gets updated, everyone who gets those updates would get a message, wow, international spelled wrong. Do you want the update? You're like, hell yeah, I'll take that update. It's easy. Remember, it's easy. If you make it difficult, you've lost.
Well, so what? As I'm listening to this, I have to think that another problem has to be when there's versioning out there, when there is, you know, in those slides about the company, what it does, and there's a key process graphic, and then two things can happen. Someone at the top of the food chain can update things, and then nobody has the update. Or on the other side of things, you can have people doing a lot of things around it, to it, next to it, that that keep it from making sense as well. So does this kind of streamline some of that versioning around some of those core content slides?
100%. We call it the genealogy of slides, where the marketing, we're talking about that sandpaper there, the marketing sales. Marketing, they make the slide library and they update it. They don't have one 300 slide presentation. They break it down into 30, 10 slide presentations that get updated regularly. Salespeople drag and drop, create their stuff. Marketing updates that one 10 slide presentation about the vision statement. And anyone in marketing through your whole organization, if they use that slide in any presentation, they're either going to get a sledgehammer update where it got forced, or they get an update where it says, hey, there's an update to this slide. Click accept and your presentation will be updated. Because of the managing of this genealogy, the parent, child, the slide updating, marketing taking care of all the parents and all the salespeople out on the end with the child slides, you now know who's using what version, where, and when. The marketing is always publishing the latest and greatest. Then they're doing their job. Salespeople can do their job, because if sales don't have the latest and greatest, they can point to marketing and say, I grabbed what was there.
Right.
And vice versa. There's also a level of social on this situation where a salesperson could see a slide and say, wow, you spelled international wrong. That can happen. It happens all the time. The salesperson just puts a note, hey, you spelled international wrong. Whoever owned or uploaded that file gets a message instantly and says, slide 33 of your worldwide presentation spelled international wrong. And you're like, oh, damn, it did. They change it. They update it. They upload the file. And if 20 people use that slide, every 20 person is updated and said, hey, get the update. And it works as an ecosystem. It works as a workflow, a process for presentations that allows you to manage your global branding and messaging strategy for the entire presentation community.
Well, I think that's so important. And, you know, to you talked about self-serving with the book mention earlier, and I'm certainly not above that and would love to hear more about it. But self-serving from the podcast standpoint is that what you just described is how, at a presentation level, you keep your presentations on brand as well.
Exactly. We like to say you like to be on message, on brand, with the pinpoint accuracy of a political campaign.
Yeah.
If you can do that for your company, whether it's a company of 15 people or 55,000 people, that's huge. That's branding. The words you use are critical for branding. Oh, my gosh. That makes – you know what I mean? The verbiage that goes into what you're doing and how you're doing is very important to the success and the – how should I say, the acceptance of the user for what's going on. If you think about it, we've all bought coffee for years and years as a cup of Joe. We got a small, medium, large. Starbucks came along and said, no, that's a venti. It's a venti. And from then moment on, you were paying $7 for a venti. You no longer get a large coffee on the street.
Exactly.
That's branding. Same exact thing you've had all the time. And that's important for all of these new internet brands, and I just shouldn't say internet brands, but every brand, everything as a total, there should be something that people grab onto, whether it's a Twitter putting out a tweet or something that makes it unique that no one else can have. That's critical. That goes into it. I mean, for Shuffler, we use Shuffler. Presentation's a deck. You reshuffle the deck. The deck is your corporate story, and each slide's a scene. And if you reshuffle the scenes, you can – who knows the stories your people on the front end can be telling, but it'll move your audience. That's a basic analogy. We help people get there, if you will, if that makes sense.
So let's talk a little bit about the stories that they might tell, because I think the whole concept of slides being scenes that they grab, that these are common corporate stories that we're telling, that we're sharing. But what else surrounds that, or how – What are some of the best practices? Part of that friction between sales and marketing comes between, I know what works. I know how to say what I say. These slides run counter to that. Are there best practices related to this approach here that gets at some of that?
Yes, there's actually a whole strategy to bring it through. It's not something you can just look at and fix in a minute. You have to give yourself a little bit to understand this whole slide library concept, the fact that it might be a video, it might be a PDF. It doesn't have to be all PowerPoint. And once you can get it in a situation where the salespeople, remember, and this isn't to degrade salespeople at all, we're all lazy. We want the shortest distance from A to B. They'll throw the presentation in the garbage if they can close the deal that minute.
Right.
And rightly so. I'm not going to belittle sure. that, you know, along the way. However, if it does tell the right message, they will use it and rely on it more. If it doesn't tell the right message, you now have a medium, meaning the slide library, to provide the feedback to get it just right. Think of a company dumping, you know, $200,000 on a CEO giving a keynote address at some big event. They get writers, they get speech coaches, animators, all sorts of things get fed into it. At the end of that event, that presentation gets thrown in the trash. Not thrown in the trash, but it doesn't get reused and repurposed. All of that expertise, when funneled into a presentation management system, the notes on it could be telling them what to say when the image comes up. The salesperson wants to look as good as the CEO. The CEO generally is the best storyteller, so they get the best presentations. This helps it cascade through the organization because you get a means to show that beautiful animation. And even if, you know, the speaker notes below it say, talk about the benefits when the animation talks about the service. They get the help that you know, $20,000 speaking coach gave the CEO at the summer festival or whatever they were at.
Well, and I think that's the best of both worlds. It gives you some of that polish and allows you to adapt to it and maybe overcome some of the concern that there won't be any room for me in this presentation, that I have to go deliver the CEO's slides or the corporate approved marketing slides. There's still room for me.
It's not forced that way.
Yeah.
That's right. They can say, I'm pulling in that super animation, but I need three bullets after that say, we support the Girl Scouts. We also support the local school district. Might be very relevant, but not going to be in your corporate presentation because it's just not. You know what I mean?
Right.
But every salesperson, every sale has a unique component to it. And the unique component might just be the cover page that says, welcome, Dr. Schwartz. Happy to be at the Marriott today. That's not going to be in any presentation.
Right.
It's not going to be in any corporate library. But you want to provide the tools that give the freedom to the person on the front end to do that so that, you know, they don't want to realign logos. They don't want to adjust the hue of the blue to be just the shade they want. They just want it to work. They want to change some words that say, yes, you'll make more money using us. They want to be really upfront about it. And you give them the tools so they have that freedom. You give them the tools to have the freedom to be super successful. Not ropes that tie and bind them up and, you know, hamper them and make them go out of the system.
So let's talk a little bit about slide collaboration. Because I always think that especially when working out, I mean, this is kind of an interesting integration between sales, the message that works, or marketing, the message that works for the masses and sales and all of the different types of individuals. Is there anything either in the best practices or in your work, in your book about collaboration of, oh, that's how you gave a similar talk. I can take aspects of that
there's
some organizations where that might be territorial, but I don't know how you navigate that and get the best message out there.
It comes up in the business intelligence and the reporting. When someone, anyone, and we post this to the front of the site saying, you know, here's 25 of the most popular slides, and they can look at it and see who used it and how it was used. And, you know, the number one salesperson spends 2 minutes on this slide in every presentation, and the worst salesperson never uses this slide. When salespeople see that basic data, you don't have to convince them. They'll start conforming to those standards, which are, you know, best, so to speak. And obviously, everyone tries their sales message their way, and they want to get it right. But, you know, there are, you know, the best practices rise to the top. And when something works, people will you know, migrate towards it.
That's, yeah. And this, I would think, makes that, it's helpful because it makes it more visible as well.
That's right. Well, that's one of the core features of presentation management is visualizing the content. So don't think of a Google response with a list of words. Think of a Pinterest response with, you know, 1,000 images scrolling right up. If you saw, you know, 55 PowerPoints and the 150 slides between them scrolling right between it, it would take you 8 seconds to find that purple gorilla in slide 33 of the presentation you hunted for from last summer. I made that up as if, you know, a very arbitrary thing.
But someone has that slide.
But you remember what it looks like, and if you can scroll through it like an image, like a list of Pinterest images, you're going to spot it instantly. And then just drag it into your slide tray. No opening, closing, hunting, pesting, copying, pasting, getting there. Oh my God, the brand. All that stuff is out, you know, it takes the pain and the butt out of creating presentations and allows people on the front end just to give presentations. I think that's what we're trying to, we're using technology to break those, you know, issues.
So you talked about Google and Pinterest just now. I wonder if this is a point of intersection or if it is a bastardization of what slide media is meant to be. But it seems like slide software, because it is so accessible and easy to use versus other forms of visual software, slides often become something else and live elsewhere online. Is that any application to the kind of thing that you talk about in presentation management?
In a way, that's exactly what we're doing here. Presentations are valuable content. If it made it into a slide, that means people sat and studied the exact words they wanted to put up there and tell somebody. And that is a lot of hidden business intelligence that's in companies everywhere. And there are a lot of slide technologies, Prezi and, you know, Google Slides and things like that. But the one reality is there's 30 years of PowerPoint history locked up in files across the corporate world all around the globe, whether it's in the military, in the National Institute of Health, in Exxon, in any company, in every country, in everywhere, you know, it's there. And those have been thought about what's up there. Those are communication messages, not just I'm going to put up a website and hope who comes. This is, I'm putting my integrity, I'm standing in front of you, telling you what's up there. So if it doesn't make sense, I look stupid. I think people put more time into slides. So this is also a way. One of the things that presentation management does is it allows you to search content. I remember you wrote purple gorilla in a speaker note. Well, search purple gorilla and filter it by speaker notes, and you're going to see that slide in a split second.
Well, I think that that feature alone, for anybody that does a lot of presenting, probably needs something called presentation management just because of the times when we've thought, wait a minute, I know I talked about something, I told this story about this. Where can I go search on that to find that? So I think
that was your first question. If you have to do that, then that's a symptom of the problem.
Yeah.
It's not the real problem. The problem is people are messed and not all around and everything. It's just a symptom. You know, and understanding that and looking at it as a holistic approach as a whole, that's where you go into a strategy for this whole means of communication.
Well, and really as an organizing challenge too, of what you just said with slide communication, content history, all this great stuff being locked up. I think that's a great way to describe the state of presentation content, that it is great content, but too often it is locked up out there in places that we can't access it and we need to be able to.
If you know, if you go in an anti-green analogy, it's like you know there's a bunch of oil or gas there, but you just don't know how to get it out of the ground.
Yeah. Oh, I mean,
not
that's
the best analogy for politics, but still, it's a.
Well, you know, that's actually an analogy I use often in talking about content marketing and teaching about content marketing, that there is valuable content out there in the minds of your people, but you have to, it's kind of like a mineral. You have to go mine it out of the rock to be able to be
this
able to
helps
get that.
Aggregate that. I understand that totally.
Yeah.
And it's hidden out there. If you think about it, and I know one of our clients is NIH, the National Institute of Health. I can tell you that they, if a doctor comes out with a dissertation about some pediatric cancer, with a system like this, they can find a presentation that a doctor gave in 1993 about pediatric cancer that suddenly might be relevant because of a new discovery.
Yeah.
You know, that data could have been locked up in a dissertation that was given at a university and submitted to the Department of Health and suddenly has new relevance because of, you know, and I'm bringing this up. I'm not giving exacts of what's gone on, but I've seen actual things like this happen. And presentations are a hidden source of incredible intelligence from the past 30 years that, you know, like you said, helps it, you just need to unlock it.
Yeah.
Personally, well, I think if you manage that brand, you manage your whole brand and identity through presentations, you can get people speaking, communicating, telling the same stories at the same time. It's really important. And when I say telling stories, it could have a negative connotation. He was telling stories all day long. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about communicating appropriate analogies that are responsive to your audience. I'll give here's a random example. If I was talking to plumbers, I would say, you know, that stubborn drip, drip, drip underneath your sink. And everyone will look and go, yeah. And I'll say, that's your cash register, and that's what you should be monitoring. Suddenly, I have all their attention. I gave a simple analogy that they said, yeah, that drip is my cash register, and every time it drips, I've got a new job. Now, every business has those moments in it. Like, I can give those moments about presentation, about, you know, I'm looking for a presentation. We all, you know, I got a presentation on Thursday. It's all hands on. It's the biggest presentation everywhere. Everyone's running everywhere to get it just done. 5 minutes before I gave it, someone gives this great slide. They give it to me. I get to the stage. I'm on the Marriott, and I tell everyone what we're going to say. And we go, whew, let's go to lunch. It's done.
Yeah.
Next Tuesday, the first call is, hey, we got a new presentation. You got that slide you gave me at the last minute before Thursday? And you go, yeah. They go, where is it? And I go, it's on the podium at the Marriott. Now, I've seen that happen 100 times. But if you use a system where you can publish through, that slide would have just been published to it, and the person at the Marriott could have brought it up, you know, 60 seconds after it was published. As fast as social media is changing an image about your burrito on Facebook, there's no reason why your slide can't be updated.
Amen.
If that makes sense.
It does. And now we've made everybody hungry for a burrito, or even updating the burrito that they just ate. As we start to wrap things up, James, what is a brand that has made you smile recently?
Apple continually makes me smile, but Stripe. Stripe, do you know of Stripe?
No, tell.
Stripe is a form of PayPal that's built into the back end. It's not PayPal. Mm. It's transacting your credit cards, but it's built into the back of technology. And I find that they do such a good job taking care of the transaction that they have made me happy allowing their name to be on the bottom of my invoices that go out.
Well, then.
And if you think about branding, to have your name on the bottom of your client's invoicing, that's huge branding.
Absolutely. Those little touch points that people.
That's like, yeah. That's as good as Apple saying "sent from an iPhone" on the bottom of every email you send out. You don't know how sinister that is, but that's where brands are made. And I can tell you, my brand, my clients are putting Shuffler dot. I don't want to say brand names. The brand name and .com, and they're saying, "Oh, that's Shuffler," and they're using it as a verb. That's what presentation management is. So I'm proud of my own brand on that same note. How does that sound?
Sounds pretty darn good. Speaking of your brand, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
Yes, there's. You can go to shuffler.com, S-H-U-F-F-L-R-R. Two Fs, two Rs, vowel challenged. And it's really that simple. Presentation management is the strategy for managing your brand, your identity on a global basis. And you can get the book, Presentation Management, at Amazon.
Awesome. Well, we will link up to all of that in our show notes. James, thank you for joining us on Brand.
Thank you very much, Nick. Take care.
And a reminder, if you like something that you heard on this episode or another, if you have a question you'd like one of our guests to ask, answer, let me know on Twitter using the hashtag OnBrandPodcast, and you may just hear your thoughts right here on the show. You can subscribe to the show via iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Google Play. Speaking of all of those sites, if you like what you're hearing, head over there, give us a quick rating and review, help others find the show. Until next week. I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This has been the On Brand Podcast, presented by Brand Driven Digital. For show notes, links, and more, go to onbrandpodcast.com. Remember, you can subscribe to the show and leave a rating and review at iTunes and Stitcher. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.